Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy on Spy FM Podcast Network. This episode is really special. I have the dude, Dave Kitty from The Omen. He's the food editor. And we had such a great time on the show. He brought me tortillas from favorite supermarket. We talk about David Chang's So Ugly Delish. And we talk about Indian food, old Oklahoma City restaurants, and all sorts of things under the sun. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We had a great time recording it. And thank you, Dave, for being on the show. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
I think I'm just gonna jump into it.
All right, let's
do
this.
What's up?
Hey.
My friend Dave Kathy is here. This is awesome.
Yeah.
When I first started this podcast, I made a list of people that I was like, okay, I want these people to be on the show, and you were on the list.
I'm so happy to hear that. That is a great honor to hear that.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that you're here. I'm really happy that we get to talk and about food and about all sorts of things Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know, Dave Kathy is from The Oklahoman, mm-hmm. and he is the main food editor,
the food dude. Yeah,
where did that name come from?
I wish it was more romantic. I'm just kind of, I moved into this job. It'll be 10 years ago on November 7th.
Okay.
So it was a few weeks before that, but my first, you know, food dude column was November 7th of 2008.
Okay.
And I had been the state editor before that. And I'd been assistant city editor before that. Did the serious stuff, mm-hmm. politics, news, all the, you know, tornadoes.
Yeah.
And we, our longtime food editor, Sharon Dowell, was retiring 25 years. Mm-hmm. And we were restructuring this is when we were just getting ready to stop doing statewide coverage. Mm-hmm. You know, very expensive to deliver truck, to send trucks all over the place. So, and we all kind of knew mm-hmm. this is not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. So I had that job, and they had a job for me lined up that was going to be like a breaking news editor, which was similar to something I'd done before. And the food editor's job was from day one. Was mm-hmm. one from like you know get into this big company and there's certain lists.
You look,
like, yeah. You know, I came in sports too, which is mm-hmm. funny, and among the things was food editor.
Uh-huh.
I would love to do that.
You have your eye on that.
Yeah.
And you're like,
so,
I'm going for
yeah,
that one.
When the time came, I had a little proposal all ready to go mm-hmm. for when the day maybe would come. I had to clean it up a little bit, and I presented it, and they liked what they saw, and they said, okay, because they were planning to just absorb the position completely and just go with wire copy.
Okay.
And so I convinced them that there was a local voice, that a local voice would be a good idea mm-hmm. to continue, and they liked it. And so there was a kind of a shuffling time in the newsroom and a lot of movement, and mm-hmm. somebody in the hall asked, hey man, what are you going to be doing? And I said, I'm going to be food dude. As I was walking by, and I get in the elevator, and the guy says, is that what you're going to call it? And I said, maybe.
And then it's history from there, folks.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's, you know, pretty humble.
That's awesome. So you've been doing it for the past 10 years. So mm-hmm. like you have seen, you know, yes. enormous change. In 2008, we were eating at Chili's. I mean, and I was in college. So,
yes.
But we're going to get into all of that. But first mm-hmm. we'll do the segments.
Yes.
Number one is Eat of the Week. So do you have a place that you've been eating recently that you're like, I love this? Or even like a food dish
that you've been making? Well, I brought you this big sack of peppers from my garden.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Right? And that has really been a big focus, I think, because I have so many of them.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there's a chili cook-off coming up here on, a week from Friday. What is that date? The
26th?
A week from Friday.
26th, yeah.
Yeah, the 26th. VI Marketing and Branding does their annual
Carpe Diem. Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. They block off a good section of Park Avenue down there.
Mm-hmm.
And live, well, I don't think it's live music anymore, but it is a DJ. Mm-hmm. I still have the band. I can't remember. But anyway, tons of people will be there serving chili. It'll be restaurants and amateurs. And I'm somewhere in the middle. They lump me in with the restaurants.
So are you cooking chili?
Yeah, I'll be cooking for this one. And so I've got all these peppers.
Yeah.
And I've got a desire to. I won the contest several years ago.
Ooh.
And I haven't won it since.
Okay.
And so it's like, all right, serious. I got to get this thing going. So chili's been on my mind. Peppers have been on my mind lately.
I have a question, a mm-hmm. controversial question
yes.
about chili. So I made chili this last weekend
yes.
in the Instant Pot.
Yes.
And I put in I put in some ground beef. Mm-hmm. I did some onions. I did some, you know, toasted some spices, did a little deglazing. Mm-hmm. And then I put in butternut squash and sweet potatoes.
Okay.
So I made it for me and my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is the worst chili I've ever had in my life. He was like, chili is not supposed to be sweet.
Well,
which it hits you sweet at first. And then I put enough spice in it to like get that spice at the end. But he was like, this is not how you eat chili. What's your opinion? Do you like the sweet chili or no?
It's a great question. I was born in California, but I was raised in Texas.
Okay.
I was raised in Austin. Mm-hmm. Chili, that's one of the first things I learned how to make.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my first column, chili.
Okay.
And all about how my dad taught me how to make it. You know, it's like deep. And so we are very much no beans.
Okay.
You know, just our butt. Now,
10
years in this job has taught me a lot. And
yes.
We're going to talk about David Chang's show here in a little while.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some of this stuff. I am a progressive-minded person in every sense of the term.
Okay.
And I don't believe in standing still.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the reason why traditions happen and people get so bent out of shape about it is because great things have emerged and they want to protect it. In many cases, they just want to protect their living. You know, like there's a very black and white financial reason for wanting to protect the way a certain thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if somebody creates a better version?
Yeah.
And now your version is no good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So I don't make a living making chili.
Right.
So I'm all
and
for
And I don't either.
Yeah, I'm
like,
all for let's go. Now,
we've got the vitamins and the orange.
Bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it. All in. And my wife's vegetarian, so mm-hmm. I make all kinds of crazy stuff for her.
Yeah.
That is meat free. She's not vegan, so we do some vegan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's so I'm okay with it.
And Steve Lackmeyer wants that no hipster chili.
Right. He's wrong. It's like,
I was like, what is like, hipster
no,
chili?
No. I mean, that's a made up term.
Yeah.
The reality is enough, man. Meeting and becoming, you know, friends with chefs has been very valuable for me. People who speak that language,
mm-hmm.
who like, they just want to talk about food.
Yeah.
You know, the way Chang does on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to learn there's two kinds of people. There are people, and everybody's involved with food. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You can't avoid it.
Right.
Whether you like to eat or not,
mm-hmm.
you must do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there are people who consume it and there are people who are consumed by it.
Right.
Okay.
And that's us.
Yeah, that's us. And now most of the people who don't cook still love to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And within that group, you got another subset.
Yeah.
You know, the growing foodie and
mm-hmm.
like, and the connoisseur, gourmand, and knowing all the best places. There's
mm-hmm.
there's currency now,
mm-hmm.
social currency now, and knowing where to go.
Right.
So that's where the weird arguments start happening, because the people who think like us, who we just want to see what else can happen.
Mm-hmm.
What else can
What's
you do
new?
With this new toy? We think in one way, and the other people are like, well, this is perfect. Why would you change it?
Yeah.
Let's leave it just like this.
Mm-hmm.
I have no reason to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're talking about. When I say things like, oh, this is, you know, a great chili, but let's see what else we can do with it. They're thinking that's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking something that's done and ready
mm-hmm.
and saying, break it.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's like the fun argument. That's
mm-hmm.
where the fun arguments happen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And especially I was listening to the Eater Upsell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever listened to that, but they're talking about restaurants and how when you go to a restaurant, you have a specific experience. And when someone else goes, they have a different experience.
Sure.
And it's fun to debate because they're going to be different.
Yeah.
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 So.
A restaurant experience is not like a lot of others
mm-hmm.
That are reviewed.
Right.
All right. If you go to a film, you sit there and you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it's bad, you can't help but notice it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sitting there, hopefully, having a conversation or in the middle of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a restaurant, the experience can be completely derailed by things that have nothing to do with what's on the plate.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to review a meal and not take into account the entire experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm not... That's not really my thing. I you know, like say this place is good and that place is
right.
bad. That's not really.
It's going to be different each time.
It doesn't even excite me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read. I mean, of course, like really great writers. I love to read really great food writing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, snarky bits about somebody's bad burger
mm-hmm.
or something like that. It's
not that fun.
No.
Yeah.
No. And then after getting to know people who've been in and out of this business over these years, I see how hard these people work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I see what they, like, I always used to talk about how, like, it doesn't bother me if you give a like a $100 million movie a bad review because everybody got paid there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's walking away thinking, oh well, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. Except maybe the producer. But in the food world, if you crush somebody's mom and pop, they're out.
It's a little classist, and I've heard this mm-hmm. argument made about mm-hmm. like Uber drivers. You give an Uber driver a bad rating, well, that could be their only like livelihood, you know. But you could have a bad experience. I don't know. It's like
it could be, and that's why for me, it's not about pretending like a great meal was great. No, mm-hmm. no. Total opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of person, if I have a bad meal experience, I'm going to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find a way
to
communicate what happened because I'm a fixer. That's like the my greatest, I don't know, the thing that stops me from being on time and things like that is not being able to, like, I want to fix things.
If
you tell me you've got a problem, I'm going to sit here until I
just help you.
Feel like I've helped you. Just lie to me. Please lie to me so I can leave. But yeah, so that, it just doesn't fit who I am and what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome. Okay, so chili is on your brain.
Yes.
I don't really have an eat of the week. I haven't really been, I mean, I've been eating random stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm going to DC in November.
Nice.
And, you know, we all know about the Nonsuch News, mm-hmm. the number one best new restaurant.
Yep.
I'm going to the number two best new restaurant.
Well, have you been to Nonsuch?
I have not.
Well, okay, you'll have to book a reservation and get back so you can prepare.
Yes, I will. But I did stay up until 11 p.m. to get reservations to Midan.
Nice.
And so I'm really excited about going
there.
It's a little more in my budget. Nonsuch has, I've been to Nani. I went to Nani whenever they, and that was, I could afford that. But now that they've increased their prices, I can't justify it.
Yeah.
So one day I will go. One day I will go for sure.
And you know, and that's going to be the challenge with Nonsuch going forward. I've been three times.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 15 hours with those guys one day
in
the kitchen. I see what they do. And that's why I feel like I can say with confidence that as awesome as all this is, this is just the beginning for them.
Right.
It's going to be an enormous challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep something like that going because it's so far away,
mm-hmm.
the labor involved day after day is, I've never seen anything like it in a restaurant. And I hope it's sustainable for them.
Right.
They're going to have to keep crowds like
they
this.
They care about
they
every
do.
Single little
they
thing.
They do.
And
they do.
And I have to say that my experience at Nani was so magical because, you know, you get this invite and you go to this house and you bring your own wine. And we were in a table where it was half of us, we knew each other and the other half we didn't. And we just had the best night and they had the same spirit. So I'm almost afraid to ruin that for myself, but I know I need to try Nonsuch.
Yeah.
But I did book a reservation there. So I'm really excited about going to experience that. And I haven't been to DC in about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to go walk around and be in a giant history book. So
that is so cool. Yeah. I'm going to go to New Orleans in January.
Oh, fun.
Which, you know, I'm only going to be there for a day, but we're going to be doing something with Brennan's and that's going to be pretty cool. But it's a hard place to go for one day. I guess in many ways, though, New Orleans is a good place to go. If you know ahead, then it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, just wipe out all, you know, you're not going to do any of those things.
Yeah.
Just pick a great place to eat. Mm-hmm. It's going to be phenomenal. It'll be better than anything you've probably eaten all year.
Mm-hmm.
So just relax and enjoy.
That's another one on my list. I've never been to New Orleans, but that's another foodie.
Pretty
spot. This year was DC, so I have them definitely on the list to go experience all that kind of stuff. So let's talk about Grocery Gab.
Yeah.
You brought me some grocery treats and you had done your research and known that I love local grocery stores. I love weird grocery stores. I love grocery stores that I have never been in before. So tell me what you brought me.
Well, if you have not been in the Feria Latina.
Yeah, I've not
have
it.
You are in for a treat. What's your favorite grocery store right now?
I have been an Aldi fan for the past couple months.
Okay.
I did have a very nice experience at Sprouts the other day.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, those are my two favorites right now.
Okay. So where this is going to vary is they have a taqueria inside.
Right.
That is one of the best in town.
Mm-hmm.
Just all by itself. That's separate, but it's you can't hardly get past it.
Okay.
You know, they've got fresh baked goods. They're all Mexican baked goods, mm-hmm. fresh. You can smell it when you walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these tortillas that I brought you. They
yes.
have in the carniceria, which is fairly small, but they have, it's all the butchering is done Mexican style.
Right.
It's all that very thin cut mm-hmm. Type stuff. And then there's the crazy stuff, beef hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You can do your own mountain oysters if you'd like. Yeah.
No, I have thank a photo. You.
I was like, no.
No, thank you.
Not going to do that. But that is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then these tortillas. And they have about 4 igloo coolers that sit right in front of the meat case. And local purveyors come in every day and they mm-hmm. drop them off. And there's tons of them. This is a small
yeah.
right here. There's one that's about this high.
Yeah.
And that one, it doesn't even have a label on it because they make those like all yeah. day long and they keep bringing them.
Yes.
And they're hot and delicious.
And corn I noticed that they were $1.79.
Yeah, which
that's
is
incredible.
Silly. Absolutely
yeah.
silly. Yeah. And that's kind of, it's the same thing. Everything is much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I love about Feria Latina over the other Hispanic markets mm-hmm. is it is truly a Latin market.
Okay.
Where most of them have a lot of great stuff from Mexico. They have stuff from all over South America.
We definitely hit at Morales a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
yeah.
a good one. It's just small.
Mm-hmm.
This place, you can get TV dinners from Cuba,
yeah.
Peru, Honduras. They have crema in like 5 different nations. Cheeses up and down.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wheel of queso fresco, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite cheeses.
Yeah, I love queso fresco.
I could not pick up.
You know, it was so big.
It looked like it needed to be in the back of your car.
Yeah.
I mean,
see, that's the thing. We were trying to make elotes and
yeah.
we couldn't find queso
yeah.
fresco
yeah.
in any of the American.
In the good way.
Yes.
And see here, at Feria Latina, you will actually have a hard time choosing.
From the queso fresco.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, wait, the Salvadoran looks really, you know, enticing mm-hmm. over here. You know, oh, but look at what's panela and then Oaxaca, then Chihuahua. I mean, it's just on and on and on.
Yeah.
And so you get this, it's very eye opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the produce, which is spectacular. The best dried chilies you're going to find outside
yeah.
of the ones you do yourself.
I mean, 15 limes for $1.
Oh, yeah. All yeah. that stuff. Always have ripe. It's a little bit of witchcraft, I think, that
yeah.
they seem to always have ripe avocados.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little afraid about that. So I don't want to push it too much.
Mm-hmm.
But grapefruit, like I was looking yesterday, I was in there and they had so many herbs that I had never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Green herbs that like what like I've, and I that's kind of my thing. And I grew up down in Austin. I was born in San Diego, so Mexican food is like that's what
yes.
did it for me.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff I know the most about.
Mm-hmm.
For me to go into a store and see things that I've never heard of
mm-hmm.
is very rare when it comes to Mexican cuisine.
So I just went to Mexico for the first time,
mm-hmm.
And I went on a bachelorette party trip. So it wasn't really a foodie trip, and I
right.
wasn't expecting to really have a like great food experience.
Yeah.
We went to an all-inclusive resort, and the food was okay, but
yeah.
I found myself gravitating towards all the Mexican food just
yeah.
because it was like prepared the
yeah.
best.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was, I mean... And then I got back and I watched the David Chang
yeah.
episode about tacos.
Yeah.
And now I'm like,
yeah.
I'm going to learn a little bit of Spanish and
go.
Like kind of get more acquainted with it because it was just all so good.
Feria Latina, it is at 23rd in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
And when you, it will be that. Do you remember the first time you went into the Super Cow Wen market?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Similar kind of experience,
okay.
but with Hispanic flavors. Not
okay.
as big as Cow Wen.
Okay.
It's not that grand.
Mm-hmm.
But they recently doubled their size.
Okay.
And they're still kind of the new, you'll be able to tell which is the new space.
Okay.
Because it's not quite, you know, they didn't shut down and redo everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know,
I wish that I didn't have a full-time job so I could just go to different grocery stores and just like walk up and down. I did the grocery gauntlet a few years ago, mm-hmm. and that was my favorite because I just got to walk up and down
yeah.
grocery store aisles
yeah.
with my guests and it was the best. So.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I think when I first started this, among the first things I did was I got a hold of Ba Lung at the Cow Wen Market,
mm-hmm.
and I'd never met him and introduced myself. And I said, I would just like to do a walk down the aisles with you with a camera.
Yeah.
And just explain what everything is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my favorite things we ever did because he's great.
Yeah.
With that kind of stuff. And it was great too because he didn't know what like a lot of it was.
He was like, actually, I don't know what that is. My favorite is on Saturday, like the steamed pork buns that you can go and get in there.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to be doing that. For sure. Well, thank you for bringing those. Yes. And I cannot wait to eat them. And what is in this thing?
Oh, just some salsas.
Oh, salsas. Okay.
They make salsas there. They had it. There's a nice relish there. I don't know. The relish I had never had. I thought that ought to be good. I bet that'll be good. So I'll throw it in there. Okay. I can't take any of this home because of how many of these peppers
there's
I have.
There's so many.
And my wife's like, no. No, no more peppers are coming in the house.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, well, I think we talked, we had to reschedule our session. So
yes.
Maggie and I from Coop Ale Works, we talked about beer and wine in the grocery store. It's crazy. It's just weird as a young person in Oklahoma just to see.
I know. I've lived here since, summer of like 88 or 89, yeah. Somewhere in there. And yeah, it was a huge shock to move to a place where, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
And the liquor store's like, what? Why is all the beer out here? Mm-hmm. You know, wait, you have no cooler. That's so bizarre.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I just finished about 2 months of research and interviews and hardcore reporting on.
Are you kind of sick of it?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
it's like so fascinating to me that I could spend the next 2 hours telling you everything. I spent 3 hours with Byron Gambulis.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
That by itself,
The Byron.
He still has the machine gun that used to be on top of the store.
Okay, so I didn't know that there was a machine
gun.
Story.
He had
a
machine gun on top of his store. There's a famous story. 1964, his store wasn't always on the corner of,
23rd.
In Robinson. It was on Lincoln before. 23rd and Lincoln before. And when he was over there, he was firebombed twice.
Oh, wow.
And he ended up putting a bird's nest up there for it was like 16 caliber, like a machine gun. He got it in Australia.
Okay.
And they made him take it down. And then when I moved here, that place used to have a machine gun on top. That was, I asked him about it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a Byron's deep cut right
there.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, it's in there with my other guns if you want to see it.
Yes.
Okay. We're just here to talk about this thing.
They're doing some rebranding. Last time I went in there, I was like, the new logo's looking good. Like, everything's looking real
They've
nice.
Got some big plan. I think, the expansion's coming. Mm-hmm. And a new look and everything.
It's going to be awesome.
It's very, very cool.
Okay. Well, let's get into the. I don't really have anything to talk about on OKC Talk, so let's just get into the questions that I have for you.
Sure.
So we talked a little bit about your history as a writer. When you were young, were you like, I want to be a writer? How did that work
well,
for you?
Okay. So the first thing I wanted to be was like 5 years old. I wanted to be a baseball player.
Okay.
Okay. That was
normal.
Yeah. You know what? Now. Then, English was the first class I ever got. They would read my stuff, like in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Like every time. Mm-hmm. It actually became like pressure on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like anxiety. I was like, God, I hope this is worthy.
Hope this is good.
You know, for Miss Goretzka, she'll, pick this one. And then when she didn't, it was always like, oh, man, everybody realizes she didn't pick mine this time, So, I had a little bit of a knack for it. And initially, I thought, well, I'll write about sports. And I actually started in sports, but found out very quickly that I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
Because I enjoyed sports in the way that I enjoy music, which is not involved in it, but able to, inject myself into it however I want. Mm-hmm. And this was the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out of, it took 7 years, but I was able to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the truth is, the reality is, when I was about 7 or so, it was clear that I was going to have a job like this. We moved from California to Texas. It was 76, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have been 8 or 9. And I was staying with our next door neighbor, a wonderful lady named Feline. She was from Puerto Rico. And so my parents were gone for 2 weeks, and Feline is cooking for me. Mm-hmm. And her food was just...
I'm sure.
Oh, and it was all garlic. It was the garlic. She was using garlic.
Mm-hmm.
I never had garlic.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I could not get enough of this food. Mm-hmm. And when my mom got back, she said, well, how did everything go? I told her, I said, mom, you need to learn how to cook like Feline. there's discernment at a very early age.
Yes.
And my mom was a great cook.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It wasn't because she wasn't a good cook.
Mm-hmm.
It was because Feline was making something different.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted both.
Yeah.
And that kind of led to, by the time we moved to Texas, I finally, about the age of 10, I said to mom, how come you never make tacos? And she says, because I don't know how.
Okay.
And I said, well, know, learn. And you know, I'm 10, like, hello, you got encyclopedias in there.
Yeah.
No internet yet. It's coming though. So she looks at me and she says, well, if you like them so much, why don't you learn how to make them?
Yeah.
And I guess she kind of knew that I was always a little kind of little kid. Like you throw it down like that. Oh yeah, it's on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the grocery store right now. I'll make it happen. So I got me my Lowry's seasoning packet.
Of course.
And ground beef and bammo. First thing I ever made, tacos for the family.
Wow.
Enjoy. So, you know, so it became a thing for me. I cooked my entire youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in college, my dad actually said, you know, hi, maybe a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, in mid-1980s, that wasn't like a college thing.
Right. You just go in, you graduate high school.
You go work at the restaurant and you figure it out and then you stay. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason to go to college. And that's still kind of the way, even though Oklahoma State has a great, you know, a program up there for HRAD. But yeah, so it just didn't occur to me that food would be a job thing.
It
was more like a fun thing.
Yeah.
So.
And that's how I've always been too. Yeah. I didn't really get into food until the past 5 or 6 years, because I had gone to school to for an English degree.
Yeah.
And now I work in the oil and gas industry.
Go.
But
there you go.
But I got a freelance job, and it was my first job writing for money.
There you go.
And I developed recipes. So that was like my intro. And then I'm like, oh, I can learn how to cook, and I can do all this. And my dad loves food, but my mom is a very basic. I eat to live. And it's so funny to me because I'm like, I'll try anything. Yeah. And she's like, that has pepper on it. I'm going to say no on that one. So you became the food dude in 2008. What, I guess, changes have you seen from 2008 to 2018?
Wow.
I know it's
glasses
a lot.
Glasses coming off for that one. I mean, it is just night and day. It's night and day. I mean, and here's, it's similar to what my view of Oklahoma City in the last 10 years is sort of my view of, I think a lot about Ugly Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way there's a frustrating aspect to watching that show.
Okay.
To listen to people have the same conversations
over and over,
you know, like we're the pizza, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
It's like, it's frustrating. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're all in this thing and they can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see what's happening around them.
They had to step outside of it.
Yeah. And you have to step out to see what you're missing. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at, is I've been in the middle of all this.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, you know, when I took over, the independent restaurants were coming. It started in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Fleischfresser and Chris Lauer, it all started in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
These things do not happen overnight.
Right.
The bust of the 1980s just crushed the local dining industry. It crushed it. And Chris Lauer was one of the young, at that time, his first restaurant he opened, I think it was 84, or no, it was a little bit earlier than that, Evan Edmond. So he was a young guy doing it, and he had the youth, and he hadn't lost enough money yet, you know, that kind of thing. To where he endured, and he was able to make it through to the other side, and he, you know, fate brought him and Kurt together within a couple of years, and it was instant with them.
Yeah,
I mean, Kurt told me he was partners with Chris, I think inside a year, and then they were developing concepts just over and over.
Name a couple of restaurants. Yeah. Coach House.
The Coach House closed a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and then the Metro was their second.
The Metro. Okay, now, I've never been there, but
yeah,
I was
it's wonderful.
I was on their Yelp page the other day. I was like, this seems like maybe I should go here.
You should definitely. They have the best wine list in town.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
But Iguana Lounge. Mm-hmm. Earl's, Deep Fork. I mean, everything that was on that strip of Western Avenue in the 1990s was theirs.
Yeah.
And there was a place called Ground Floor Cafe.
Okay.
I think there's still a version of it downtown. I think it was 20-something concepts that they developed in that stretch. And most of them worked. I mean, they only had one or two that kind of fizzled quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that laid the groundwork for what happened after. And on top of that, Kurt started his apprenticeship program.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're feeding your young chefs back into your market.
Yeah.
At first they were leaving, but in the more recent years, They circle back.
Yeah.
And a lot of them did leave and they circle back.
And is there nothing like that anymore?
Not really, no. Okay. I mean, we have some culinary schools, which are great.
Yeah. And Francis, I've been to the classes at Francis Tuttle. It's like state of the art.
It's unbelievable.
It's awesome.
The school up there especially, it's phenomenal. But the difference is at the Coach House, it was something much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Those guys, to this day, they're like this pack,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And whenever you see, they're a Coach House alumni,
you know,
you're
that's
like,
a certain, there's yeah, a certain, you know. Yeah, you know that's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a lot of pride in it, serious pride in it. And the way they learned was the ancient way, you know, mm-hmm. where it's, you're just working with the guy who's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just back and forth between two and you're learning, and you're helping each other forward. You know, it really is grab onto the chain and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have this captive audience of young chefs
mm-hmm.
who they some of them did work for damn near free.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, we just want
to
be here.
They wanted to be
here.
We're
coming
it.
For you. Yeah. Josh Valentine, for instance, he had already been to culinary school
mm-hmm.
when he moved back to Oklahoma City. And Josh is the guy who was on Top Chef a while back.
Okay.
You know? And he moved back to the city and he was working at Ben and Jerry's on 23rd Street. Mm-hmm. And he saw Fleischfresser in there having dinner, and he said, I knew when he was in there, I was going to get out there somehow. I want to be in your program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it happened. Mm-hmm. And so people were seeking him out. That puts you in a really great position as an owner.
Yes.
And so all these concepts that popped up, these guys that were feeding into there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were not only getting the benefit of these guys at the Coach House, guys like Chad Willis, who's now at Drake and working mm-hmm. for Good Egg. He was over it. He was like the first chef over at the Iguana Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
So you got these French, these French classically trained chefs doing tacos
and
barbecue. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really, like, it was like a little bit of a, like a little bit of magic there for a little while.
Yeah.
And it inspired others to follow suit. And that's when it began. And so, since 2008, it's just been more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Good Egg, I think when I took over, had two concepts.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and now it's like,
and now it's like every couple of years, you know,
boom, and boom, they're boom, boom, opening a new taco place, which I'm like, I'm kind of like, there's a lot of tacos
there
here
is.
And I love tacos, but like, how are you going to do it differently? Yeah. And I don't know yet.
I know.
I could go and be just blown away.
Could be.
But I'm like, I want something different.
That is how humans are.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot ever be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying. I love the name, Mexican Radio.
Yeah.
I do love the name. And they're not going to put something bad.
No, you know? I know.
But I know what you're saying. I completely know what you're saying.
I like to be a hater sometimes. I definitely do.
Yeah, several people have more tacos. It's like, come on, world. Can't you produce more cuisine for us to enjoy here in Oklahoma?
I know. But that's what's going to get people in.
It's true.
Like you're saying,
right.
Like these, you know, French trained chefs. They're going to make barbecue because people are going to come eat barbecue.
That's right.
People like my boyfriend. Like, he's like, all I want to eat is barbecue. And I'm like, well, you're keeping back door in business. So like, and it's like those people he's from Western Oklahoma. So like, they're stuck in there with no sweet chili. And I want barbecue all the time.
Yeah. And see that's what
it's interesting.
There's these mindsets of I don't mean conservative in like the political way. I mean, like, it seems to me, and because my parents were both from the country
mm-hmm.
and grew up in very small towns, and I lived a year after high school, they had moved back to a small town. So I spent a couple summers in these small towns.
Mm-hmm.
The mentality is so, what I've talked about, how I am like passionate about progressing anything that mm-hmm. I'm involved in, it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It is get it right
mm-hmm.
and keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's just... That's where, like I was going to say, with Ugly Delicious and so many other things, that's the question we're looking to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the mindset different?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a ton of factors mm-hmm. involved. I don't know. I'm not a sociologist.
Right.
I don't know what any of these things are.
Yeah, we don't know. So you've been writing about it for 10 years, and mm-hmm. I put this question in the doc because this is one thing I really wanted to ask mm-hmm. you. Whenever I go somewhere, like Chicago is a great mm-hmm. example.
Mm-hmm.
When I went there, I would look up what food to eat. And then on Eater and Zagat and Bon Appetit, you see all this stuff about Chicago
mm-hmm.
or New Orleans or mm-hmm. DC. And you think about like Oklahoma City is a large city.
Yeah.
Why don't we get that coverage like they get?
Yeah. Yeah. That's one I've thought about a lot.
Yeah.
And And of course, with the nonsuch news, it was almost like, for me, it was almost like a, oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, like I felt a little like Moses myself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the thing happened that I hoped would happen.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, I manifested this.
Yeah. You know, it's like, no, but you want to feel that way. It's like,
because
there's a lot of us that have had that sort of general feeling. Like, there's some really great food here. Give us some
attention.
Yeah, we
want some.
You know?
And that's the thing. Like, and then when the Bon Appetit thing came out, I was like, they chose us. Not only because Nonsuch is a phenomenal restaurant, but because it's a good story.
Yeah,
because
I think
it's
that's
from
very true.
Yeah,
very true. Yeah,
it's,
I think that's
it's
true.
Different than Chicago, DC, LA.
The biggest thing that I've after much thought and conversation with people, it really is as simple as we're just a young city.
Mm-hmm.
We just we're 100 years old barely.
Mm-hmm.
And New York is how old? San Antonio was founded in the 1600s.
Yeah.
You know, so they might have a couple of cultural advantages on
us.
Yeah, I don't
know.
True. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, that cultural, like I know, I have done enough research to know as much as you could possibly know about the cultural background, dining background of Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're talking about.
Didn't you wrote a book about it,
The restaurants of Oklahoma City, and I wrote a book about Pittsburgh County a few years ago. And so I have a good understanding of like where we've come from, and all the great advances almost always come from an immigrant or some outlier coming in that sees something slightly differently and nudges something in a way that nobody thought to do before.
Yeah.
And we're just so young and we don't have like, you know, I was watching the Ugly Delicious, episode on crawfish and shrimp.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, and these guys are sitting there, they're criticizing New Orleans for not embracing fusion. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this room of people, and I'm asking, like, I'm screaming at the TV, have none of you noticed that you're talking about Cajun and Creole food?
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that is essentially the beginning of fusion food in this country.
Yeah.
So, of course, New Orleans is not going to change that.
And
that's
the
thing they invented.
On the Ugly Delicious episode, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's an episode. They do episodes like tacos, fried chicken, pizza, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did one on crawfish, and they had gone to, I don't remember the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was Korean and Cajun fusion.
Yeah, Vietnamese.
Vietnamese.
Yeah, Vietnamese and Cajun. Yeah.
And then they went to New Orleans, and they're like, well, why aren't you guys doing this?
Yeah, you guys should have been. You should have been. You got all these Vietnamese people here.
It's not going to sell.
Well, and the Vietnamese people who lived in New Orleans, no, we're not going to change that.
Yeah.
This is how we do it. This is our place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's missing there. And it's only because he's so progressive-minded.
Yes, yeah.
And he's constantly hit, like he said, every time I do something, I'm thinking in terms of what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
I can relate to that. When I eat good food, I'm inspired to do something myself or to write about that thing.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the way my brain works, I start thinking of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But in New Orleans, it's kind of like with the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to, the Neapolitans are not going to change. No.
No.
Why
they're
would
not.
They?
Yeah.
Why would you even ask them to change?
It's so funny. My dad was in the Navy, and he lived in Naples for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we were planning Father's Day, and I was like, let's go to Pizzeria Gusto because they have like Napoleon. He was like, he sent a text back. He was like, well, I lived in Naples, so.
Why would I want to go there? It's a great question.
I know.
It's a great question.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and I love Pizzeria Gusto.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's better than anything you're going to get in Naples. They're not going to tell you that.
Yeah.
They're inspired by the way they do things.
Uh-huh.
So they follow some of the techniques that they
use.
But yeah, that's. And so at the end of the day, it's just do your own, do what, where you are and what inspires you, you know, and then dazzle us with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I care about.
One other thing I wanted to get your opinion on is when I started this, I was like in the Oklahoma City food scene, looking at everything on the internet, reading everybody's columns, and I didn't see any other females.
Yeah.
I'm
baffled by that.
Disheartening to me.
Well, I wouldn't be disheartened. It's like I mentioned, it's like, it's got to be more of a outlier.
Yeah.
Because like every predecessor at the Oklahoman for my job was a woman.
That's what you were saying.
Dating
all
the way back to 1923.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Susan, we had two Aunt Susans. We had the original and another who became the first like food editor at McCall's Magazine in New York City.
Okay.
She had a radio show here. She used to do live shows that would draw 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So women in this world are
prevalent.
Yeah, it is not a thing. Now, that, I think I mentioned, some of that has to do with the fact that homemaking was the primary sort of focus of, of food editors in the older days. Mm-hmm. Now, it started to change some in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Still, women were the main gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. But as dining has crept more into to the forefront, that's where you're seeing men now.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because you think about all the things that women were responsible in the past, like they brewed the beer and they, you know, they, and now men are
doing that too.
Doing it too. Like it's just very interesting to see how it's changed.
Again, it's a it's a sociological thing. Mm-hmm. When you start, when you really, if you really want answers to questions like that, you have to go back and take kind of take away some of the industrial part and ask what are the dynamics here? Mm-hmm. What's really happening? Because there's even in dining, there's tons of, I mean, some of the greatest food writers of all time are women. Mm-hmm. You know, now and well, even James Beard, he's not a woman, obviously, but he was a gay man, and he was raised by his mother.
Yeah,
and his mother was the entire inspiration for his entire life. Mm-hmm. His palate came from his mother.
Yeah,
all I mean everything. So again. But yeah, I think in with because chefs in the chef's world, now that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
There is it's always been dominated by men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the coverage has started to kind of lean in that way a little bit. And that's where I have a like I hosted an event at American Propane last month and it was all women chefs.
Okay.
Called it Lilith Fair. And it was great. And it was all female chefs and female vendors.
Okay.
So we had coffee makers, tea makers, everything. And there was such great energy in that room. And we had students from Francis Tuttle there, and we had Florence from Florence's restaurant there, Florence Kemp. And it's like, and I'm sitting looking at this room, and that's where I have the biggest issue in the food world is, is in the restaurants.
Yeah.
Because and it's not right.
Yeah, I had Shelby Sieg on.
Oh, I love Shelby.
And that's why I asked her about that. Yeah. And I'm like, it's just, I love having that opinion, like getting that opinion from people. Yeah. It's very interesting. And I think it needs to be brought to light, you know?
It does. It needs to be talked about and figured out why that is so that we can make progress. I have developed a number of heroes through these years that, you know, that you romanticize, you know, what they've done. You can't help it. And they're almost all women in this industry. Florence, who I mentioned, Florence.
Yeah.
Kemp, I mean.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about Florence. Because I said, what is the one restaurant in Oklahoma City that you don't think that it gets the credit it deserves? And you said Florence's restaurant. I don't think I had ever heard of it. But once I got on the website, I was like, I've definitely never eaten here, but I maybe have heard it. So tell me a little bit about her and the restaurant.
And that's the whole reason why is what you just said. Because everyone in Oklahoma should know about Florence. Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the food's great.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but that's not what's so great about it.
Okay.
I mean, she, you know, her fried chicken's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And she does several different versions. The candied yams are just. Okay. So you go in and you'll get some kind of chicken or meatloaf or something. I think it's always three sides. You get three sides, and most people always get two candied yams and then something else.
Okay. So you got to double up on the candied yams.
Yeah, they're just
hot
so
tip.
Good.
Yeah.
But the deal is that she, and Florence is a black woman, she opened her restaurant in 1952 when she was 22 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How hard?
Herself. Yeah.
That must have been so hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And so she's 22 and she's single and she says that she opened it on three chickens and a prayer. She had no background in restaurants whatsoever. She just did it.
Yeah.
And she's still open.
Mm-hmm.
And now was she 87, getting returned 88.
Yeah. I love the picture of her on the menu.
And yeah. And she's still there every day.
Yeah.
You know, cooking and tough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always like to go a little later in the day. Because I know when she comes out.
Okay.
You know, like when she, okay.
Yeah.
Done for the day. And yeah. I always like to, if I'm there, I always want to see her.
See her and say hi.
Because she just, I mean, people like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pioneer. You're talking about an actual pioneer, a living pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime
in
somebody,
your city.
Yeah, and in you your can, city. And you can go see her tomorrow.
And
you
can
want.
Pay tribute.
Yeah.
Eat her just, food.
And walk away with some of the best fried chicken you're ever going to have.
Right.
So yeah.
What
so,
what an experience.
Yeah. So that's why, even though, you know, they're not like hurting or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And they, but you didn't know.
I didn't know.
And so everyone should know. Mm-hmm. Everyone should know about Florence and what she did mm-hmm. and what she's still doing.
So, yeah. Everyone go visit Florence. I asked you some other restaurant-y questions, yeah. and I said, what is one restaurant that you think is overhyped? And
And my answer was broad. It was breakfast, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I was trying to think, and really that's what it comes down to, is we've had a big run of restaurant openings. Mm-hmm. Breakfast restaurant openings mm-hmm. in the last couple of years.
It's been a breakfast moment for sure.
It's a national thing, too. Mm-hmm. And most of them are actually really good mm-hmm. for the most part. But none of them are better than Cafe Cacao or Cafe Antigua.
No.
So
they're not.
I don't want to hear about it anymore. I know. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about you, Hatch or Hutch or what any breakfast people. What's the one up in Edmond? They all sound kind of the same.
Neighborhood
Hash,
Jam.
Neighborhood Jam, yeah. Hash, Hatch. Mm-hmm. Aurora, I will. The biscuits and gravy at Aurora cannot be.
I've been to Aurora, but I don't think I had biscuits and gravy.
You can't quibble. They are. They're phenomenal.
We had Cafe Cacao recently, but one breakfast restaurant that I love is the Red Cup.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
A great a great breakfast place.
Same, another old school. It's like I don't have a problem with any of these places, mm-hmm. but
it's a lot.
We didn't really need them. We had really great places. I'm mm-hmm. happy to have them. A neighborhood James close to my house. We go there every couple of weeks. I think all these places, they're not, like I said, not bad. It's
they're just a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. What's one of your favorite restaurants that isn't around anymore?
Oh man, what did I say?
Trattoria
Il Centro, because there's so many. There's a bunch. Trattoria Il Centro. Okay. Yeah, that's Christine Dowd and Maggie. Oh man, they're that place. It was in the Hightower building, right next to the Civic Center.
Okay, yeah.
Underneath their beautiful restaurant, mm-hmm. wonderful Italian food, mm-hmm. and the city just kept digging up there in front of them. Mm. And they endured an entire year, mm-hmm. which included like a mistake that had to be that added time.
Yeah.
And as soon as it got done, another plan was announced. And they're just like, okay, that's it for us.
That's hard. Yeah, that's really hard. When did they close?
Oh, goodness. Oh, 5 or 6 years ago now, okay. I want to say. Okay. Yeah. But there's older ones too, like Che closed, but... See, I can't say because oxtail soup is back.
Yeah.
So because I can get oxtail soup, I'm less sad.
I love their oxtail soup. Yes. It is my favorite. I will miss dearly the location of Che and the memories I have had there. It was my favorite restaurant. Yeah. But we went into Che Cafe. It's not too far away from our house. And we were like, it's not the same, you know? And it still has the All About Y'all vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I guess they're doing the brunch on the weekend.
They had some great, we had some great lattes though. There you go. I mean, it was awesome.
Daniel, he's doing big things. So.
Yeah. And I think he's running for county treasurer.
That just had a new baby. Yeah. So his trajectory is
going
good.
Upwards, but you can get oxtail soup at Urban.
That's right.
And some other feature. I haven't been to Urban in a while.
The Bip and Bop.
Okay.
They moved over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk. We've been talking about it.
We've been hinting at it.
But I had been watching Ugly Delicious. I know I'm like a year late or a year and a half late.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
But I had watched the pizza episode mm-hmm. and I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it.
It's hard to watch.
And my friend Fee from mm-hmm. Take a Bite, she said, you need to watch the tacos episode.
For sure.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. So I started binging it and I asked you to watch it and we're going to chat about it.
I haven't finished them all yet.
I haven't either.
But I know what you mean about the pizza episode, but this is, and it's crucial because mm-hmm. this is where we are in the world culturally. Is that things that make us uncomfortable, we now seem to reject.
Yeah.
Off the cuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'll pick up my phone and look at it. And something will make me not feel uncomfortable anymore. Uh-huh. So we have all these options to move away from things that make us uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it makes it difficult to watch certain kinds of programs. Stream, you know, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, you remember the film Punch Drunk Love? Mm-hmm. Oh, what a difficult watch. Most mm-hmm. people hated that movie because it was so hard to watch, but that doesn't make it bad.
Right, right.
And that's kind of the pizza episode, to me, was incredibly frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
But it said a lot. Mm-hmm. And it said a lot about the people who were in there. Mm-hmm. That was what was interesting, and that's what it was missing. Mm-hmm. No context.
Right.
Like, there was nobody, they needed to bring that sociologist in to say, okay, you realize everyone you've just interviewed said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that there is common ground. Mm-hmm. And somebody should have just stepped in and say, yeah, you see the the Neapolitans, they just, they're protecting their brand because they will lose money if somebody else starts making a better version.
Yeah.
That's all. It's like champagne.
Yeah.
In you know, you can't call it champagne if it's not, it doesn't come from the champagne region. Well, why?
Yeah.
So because the champagne people don't want to sell champagne.
They want it. Yeah. They want to be able to sell that champagne.
Right. Black Angus, it goes on and on and on.
Which makes me think, like, maybe David Chang meant it that way.
Maybe. And that's, and so he's a really smart guy. So I give him the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, because he's asking all these questions, you can see him questioning himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he's either leaving it open for your own interpretation on purpose.
Yeah.
Or they just didn't think to, like, hey, like, I wonder if there's somebody that could, like, put this into some context. Because it's not just food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it's the idea of being afraid of new things.
Yeah.
Or people, like in the shrimp episode, they were talking about the KKK coming after the Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm horrified by it. I'm ashamed and embarrassed and humiliated that our country allowed something like that to happen. But it doesn't surprise me
because
those people who were bringing in the KKK were worried about their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
It always comes back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you get that stuff. That's where it all begins. And all this argument over what's the best essentially always comes back to people protecting their livelihoods.
Right. And that was the, did you watch the fried rice one?
Yeah.
And they talked about that too, like when they talked about Chinese food and you're like, it's, they're uncomfortable. People are uncomfortable because they don't know what it is and they have all these preconceived notions and they're like, it's like, no, it's not like that. But people, humans are humans. So
yeah. And see, it's like going back to the first thing I said about how there's two kinds of people, the people who don't really are passionate about food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just want to know what to do, what to get.
Mm-hmm.
And some people want to know the best thing to get.
Best thing to get.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's who they are. It's not just food. It's cars, it's jewelry, it's whatever they're going to buy. They want to get the best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those people have a very different argument when they come to it. They have a, they're viewing it completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
So if David Chang were to argue with somebody with that viewpoint, they're never going to come to an accord.
Right.
Because he's thinking, there's so much more you can do. Mm-hmm. And this other guy's, I just want to know where the best stuff is.
Or, you know, David Chang would be like, I want to order all of it.
Yeah. Let's get it all and figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's figure it all out. Let's be inspired. Let's workshop this.
Right.
You know, and others just tell me where to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so, it's so funny because I mean, people ask me, where should we go eat?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I need a lot more context.
I have an answer for you. Okay. This is something I've started using. Because I, you know, imagine I.
Right. I can't.
And even with my wife and I sometimes, it's like, and so the thing I do now is if we get in the car and we're having a hard time figuring out, it's like, all right, this car is now headed to Cheesecake Factory.
Yes.
People better come up with some ideas or we're going to Cheesecake Factory.
Sometimes I just get so tired. I'm like, and especially if it's like me going to eat and I'm with like a group of people, say I'm with, you know, my boyfriend and his sister and brother-in-law, and they're like, where should we go eat? Mallory, where? And I'm like, I'm just tired. Like, I don't, I just want to sit down and, you know.
Can y'all come up with just one idea? I know, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, I get emails a lot.
Yeah.
From people coming into town, you know, and they want, you know, to know things. And I actually have a few, like some stuff that I keep updated so that I can quickly give people
which
some
is
ideas.
A great idea. Yeah.
And I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy
it. I love it.
I'm nothing more than a concierge really at heart. I'm like that with everything.
And when someone comes back and they're, I had a coworker ask me, he's like, where can I go eat? He was gluten free and he was like, I want a lunch place downtown, whatever. So
good.
I'm like,
that's a good one. I like people who are like that, who know what they want.
Yeah. So I was like Kitchen 324. Perfect. He went and he was like, that was the best lunch I've had in a while. And I was like, great. That's
awesome. It's
that's
a good feeling.
Yeah.
It is. It's like recommending a good song and people like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
It makes you feel good about yourself.
Yes. It's validation. And at the end of the day, we're all just like puppies.
Right.
We all want a pat on the head.
Yeah.
You know, just like everybody else.
Well, okay. So people can find you in the Oklahoman.
Yes. NewsOK.com is the primary place online. Mm-hmm. There's also an Oklahoman.com too for subscribers. There's no ads on that one.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to read the Mexican radio article. Yes. But it was like paywall.
Sorry. Yeah, that's a new thing. Okay. And it's tough because it's like, I hate that. But then it's like, I get it too. Because we just had another big round of layoffs. It's like the reality is we need people to support us.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We need people to subscribe one way or another. Support local journalists, or mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a plea, it's a reality.
Yeah.
If we don't do it, they won't be around.
Right.
And it's not just us. It's all like television, journal record, everybody, mm-hmm. everybody mm-hmm. who's in the business. And I hate to think of a world where we don't have, you know, media to give us information, because mm-hmm. then we're going to be relying on who knows
who, what? Yeah. yeah. Trump's yeah. America. I yeah. mean, yeah, what are you going to do? And they could follow you on
Twitter
and Instagram.
Instagram, the food dude. It's all O's.
Yes. Okay? So all he, O's. Yeah, in 2008, he was like, how are we going to spell this?
Well, you know what the funny thing is? In my column, it's actually spelled the normal way.
Okay.
But Twitter was not brand new.
Yeah, in 2008.
Yeah, it wasn't brand new. So somebody had already had the typical spelling.
Damn.
So I just like, oh, I'll just do extra O's. and it worked out. And so then when I did the Instagram years later, I was like, well, I guess I should stick with the O's.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. Yeah. So follow Dave, read his, yes. Oh, read yeah, his article.
I've got a podcast of my own coming
yes.
up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just briefly, next month to mark the 10 year, we're going to release this new podcast called Community Table. We've spent most of the summer. Yeah. We'll have a great conversation with Florence
okay.
and her, awesome. and her daughter. And lots of great chefs came in to visit with us, and mm-hmm. we're going to be dispersing those conversations over time and then talking about, you know, new stuff that's coming up and, you know, just trying to gather around the fire.
Yeah. I'm really excited. We talked a little bit about this before we started recording. I'm really excited to listen and learn more about the Oklahoma City food scene, because yeah. I'd love to hear an interview with Florence. I mean, that's going to be awesome and such an addition to our local media. So I'm excited for you. Okay. So as always, you can follow me at OKC Over Easy on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And then my blog is overeasy.blog. If you want to go on there, I'm going to be writing about food like I usually do. Food and dogs is like my wheelhouse. I'll write a little, I have some dog content coming up. So
awesome.
So thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This was great. And thank you for bringing me the peppers and the and all the things. So we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Thanks.
Surprising to me, mm-hmm. as much as it was to the population at large, mm-hmm. was that a store, in the words of my landlords, that sells salt and pepper will survive and thrive in the middle of, in the middle of the country, where when I moved back, I asked people where to get groceries, and the guy I worked with was like, well, you go to Walmart. Mm. And I'm like, no, I won't do that.
Nah.
But how much the local community has really embraced this concept. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have a store that nobody needs to go to, you know, mm-hmm. I always tell people it's like a Harley shop. Like, nobody needs a Harley, but you get one because you want a Harley.
Yeah.
People come here because they want really freshly ground spices. Mm-hmm. They want to make their food taste good. And, you know, I believed in the concept. I opened just off the heels of Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. I knew a bunch of the people that helped open Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. I saw them when they doubled projections. And, you know, so one of the biggest surprises is the extent to which it's really embraced. But if you look historically, you know, spices, depending on who you ask, is the world's second oldest profession.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that people want, something that they'll travel for. Mm-hmm. And that has been really, really great that a lot of people have been surprised about. The other big surprise is how many people eat really, really hot chilies.
Wow.
I mean,
really?
Our ghost pepper salt, which is fantastic, mm-hmm. Is the second best selling thing in the store.
What's the first?
It's a blend called Capitol Hill.
Okay.
It's mostly shallots and dill.
Okay.
So it's really great on eggs, on chicken, mm-hmm. on fish. You can do tuna salad with it. You can do chicken salad mm-hmm. with it. You can shake it up with some oil and vinegar, make a salad dressing mm-hmm. out of it. It's just a kind of really good all around.
I came in the other day and got that pesto parmesan
like
sprinkle. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
You haven't told me about your macaroni and cheese yet.
The cheese slices that I made?
Yeah. Did they work out all right?
Yes. Okay, so for the state fair, I was in mm-hmm. the grilled cheese competition, mm-hmm. which I got 6th place out of 7, which is not great, but I still have a state.
They weren't ready for your
They weren't ready for the.
They weren't ready for your salad either. But
I have to like reframe my whole. Next year. Mm. I'm going to, I know.
You got to play to your audience.
Yeah. It worked out great. I mean, and I was like so shocked of how easy it was and how good it was.
Okay, let's Tarantino this and roll it back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I came in and had coffee with Abel, we were talking about modernist cooking. Mm-hmm.
And I told him I'm going to be in the state fair in the grilled cheese competition. And he said, well, you can make your own cheese slice. And I was like, how? And he showed me that if you take cheese, beer.
Beer.
What? Yeah.
Used beer. I've never used beer.
Oh.
But that's cool.
Cheese, beer, water.
Just any liquid. Water, beer, milk.
And.
Sodium citrate.
Yes, sodium citrate.
Cheese. That's it.
And just melt it down.
All you got to do is boil the water, dissolve the sodium citrate,
mm-hmm.
put your boat motor blender in there, and mm-hmm. start throwing cheese in there, and it just creates the smoothest, silkiest.
You can make queso out of it.
You can make queso out of any cheese in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you can take really fancy pants, mm-hmm. Whole Foods cheese,
yeah.
shred it, and blend it up with sodium citrate. Sodium citrate is an emulsifier
mm-hmm.
that helps the water bind to the fat in the cheese, whereas usually it would break. Which is why you have to add breadcrumbs and stuff
mm-hmm.
to homemade macaroni and cheese. But sodium citrate allows you to do it with whatever cheese you want.
Yeah.
And you can make the slices as well. So.
And I made slices. And it was, I can't remember.
I gave Mallory a little quarter bag of
yeah.
sodium citrate.
Yeah. He came up to my work. Yeah.
And then I pull up in a black Lincoln with a little Ziploc baggie full of powder.
My boss walked up and I was like, it's not what you think it is. It's to make cheese slices. He was like, okay. Mm-hmm. It was great. The cheese, the grilled cheese was great. I didn't have enough presentation, and that's why I think I think the cheese saved me from getting seventh place.
You're gonna have to go pyro next year.
Yeah,
sparklers.
No, you have to like present it with other stuff on the plate.
Oh.
Yeah, it. She's nodding
sandwich?
Her head. Yes. Yeah.
What are you gonna put on the plate? Tomato soup.
The one lady did like a mozzarella, basil, and tomato grilled cheese, and then she had like these little skewers with fresh mozzarella and basil, and it was just like too much. So I think that I'll know for next year. I don't think I'll do the salad competition again. That took way too long. I think I'll do the grilled cheese, and I think I'm going to attend the salsa one because apparently that's the biggest competition at the state fair is the salsa competition.
See, so. I've got tomato powder in the shop. I think I told you this when you came in, but
mm-hmm.
I've always thought it would be cool to do a grilled cheese / tomato soup
sandwich.
Because we have
that's
the powder,
a good idea.
And you could, it just tastes like tomato soup.
Yeah.
Dried powder, if you could like sprinkle that on there. You'd have to do some tests, but
mm-hmm.
I think that could be really cool.
I used the pesto parmesan sprinkle for the grilled cheese.
For the grilled cheese?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it awesome?
Yeah. It was. Yeah. I mean, it was great. I really liked it.
If you
it
like
a lot.
Pesto, parmesan pesto sprinkle is pretty hard to beat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is you said that the best selling was the
Capitol Hill.
What's your favorite, though? That you like?
Changes from day to day.
Okay.
What's your favorite right now, Perry? I don't know. Let me see.
Okay. He's looking around the shop right now.
Now, well, we've been eating a lot of chicken noodle soup because Abel's been sick.
Yes.
So we use Cambridgeshire celery seasoning.
Oh, okay.
Cambridgeshire celery seasoning and French style bouquet garni.
Mm-hmm.
And turmeric. And turmeric, yeah. French style bouquet garni is a really old school French herbal blend.
Okay.
Partially herbal, tarragon, chives.
Nice.
French seasoning. Makes amazing chicken noodle soup. Then just chicken soup. You can put it in any chicken brothy soup.
Mm-hmm.
That one, Cambridgeshire, those are pretty good brothy soup ones. A lot of the time it's Peruvian chili lime.
Mm-hmm.
Taco seasoning's great. Enchilada seasoning's great. Oh, the fajita seasoning.
Yeah.
I'm gonna final answer.
Okay.
Fajita seasoning.
Fajita seasoning. Okay, what's in it?
Dehydrated bell peppers.
Okay.
And a lot of tomato powder, so you can actually eat it. Carrie's gonna go grab some.
Okay.
You can actually eat it like a snack. So.
Okay. Oh my gosh, we're doing a little.
We're gonna have a taster here.
Taster.
So if I'm ever at the shop and I've been here all day and I haven't been able to have lunch or anything, I'll just take like half a teaspoon of. A fajita seasoning, and it's got like pretty much everything that you need. Yeah. To smell it first.
Oh, it smells great.
And the tomato powder, it makes it taste like a tomato soup. It just everything just kind of rehydrates in your mouth. So the dehydrated chili peppers rehydrate in your mouth, and you just kind of have a little bite of essentially soup.
It's really good.
And all you gotta do is take a quarter cup of that with a cup of beef broth, and mix it up and simmer it with like any kind of fajita meat. And you've got this great like thick sauce. It's really easy.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to, first of all, what did you think of the chocolate bar? The chocolate bars.
This one's called salt, pepper, potato chip. It mm-hmm. tastes like dark chocolate.
Yeah, mine was like not great.
This one is called chili cinnamon. Mm-hmm. It tastes like dark chocolate with a little bit of heat.
Okay.
But not much.
Not great.
Let's try the coconut. Coconut is a very distinctive flavor. Okay. Do you mind?
Yeah, go ahead. Candy bar. While you're trying the coconut, tell me, you probably know this question already, but your favorite meal in Oklahoma City.
That's not at my house?
That's not at your house. Okay. That's out in a restaurant. I mean, or at your house.
Can it be in Norman?
Yeah.
Okay. There is a place in Norman. I'll do an Oklahoma City one, too. But okay. Norman is my favorite meal in a restaurant in general.
Okay.
There's a restaurant on, I believe it's 12th and Alameda.
Okay.
It used to be right across from, or up the street from 50s Diner on Lindsay, but they moved. It's called Thai Kum Koon.
Okay. Oh, I think you told me about this.
Thai restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the dish is Evil Jungle Chicken.
Okay.
And, you know, my palate has gone. I've eaten at the best restaurant in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I've eaten at dive cafes all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Evil Jungle Chicken is my favorite meal.
Of all time.
In a restaurant.
Okay. Okay. I'm doing a Norman food tour in a couple weeks.
The coconut one's good.
The coconut one's good? Okay.
The coconut caramel one's legit.
I had the black salt, sea salt caramel, and it was fine.
No.
It was fine.
It tastes like dark chocolate.
Yeah.
But
what about Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City? Mm-hmm. Let me think here.
That one is good.
Have you been to Bonjour?
No. And that's on like MacArthur, right?
It's on Memorial in Portland.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if it's called Bonjour anymore. Maybe it is.
Okay.
But most of the meals that I've had recently that I've been like, wow, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at Bonjour. Vaughn is the head chef up there. He's the guy that opened Guernsey Park.
Oh, okay. I like Guernsey Park a lot.
He does amazing things. And every time I go up there, because so many times I eat places and I'm just like, hey, yeah, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Vung always, he consistently blows me away.
Okay.
With his food. I'm trying to think, there's one other one. Butter chicken and dumb beef at Shish Mahal.
Okay. Okay.
Also the sandwiches at Indie Foods.
Oh, my God. The sandwiches at Indie Foods?
No, where's Indie Foods?
Indie Foods is on...
Oh, Indie Foods.
The letter N, the letter D.
Okay.
Foods is on Britain between Penn and May.
Okay.
South side of the road.
It's right by a sewing store.
Completely nondescript. Mm-hmm. They have a deli. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about now? Or not?
Say it again.
Indie Foods.
I don't know where it is.
You haven't been there?
Mm-hmm.
I love a good deli. And it's my favorite deli in the city because it just doesn't seem like we have that many delis around.
No, not really.
And I'm a sucker for a Cuban sandwich.
Oh.
I mean, a sucker for a good Cuban sandwich. They have to have plenty of pickles.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be panini pressed because the guy at Indie Foods got onto me about how that's all just marketing and real. And, I mean, you think people in Cuba are actually going to smash their sandwiches? No, they put them on a ciabatta bun like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
But, I really like them too. Man, I really am not answering your question.
That's okay. No, I think we have a lot of options.
I have so many because, you know, I'm really passionate about this. You know, I could put Szechuan Bistro in there, ox tongue and tripe. Ox tongue and tripe sounds scary, but they use Szechuan peppercorns, which has kind of a numbing effect on your palate.
Okay.
Have you ever been?
No.
It's on Memorial and Western. And then it used to be in like a Burger King or something, but it's really big and nice now. By far, hands down, no question, best Chinese food in the city.
Okay. I'm going to have to go there. I'm going to write all this down.
You should.
Anything
else?
We're good. I mean, I think we're really good. I think I want to...
How are we doing on time? Are we at 2 hours?
We're at one and some change. So I think we've got a pretty bulky, good podcast
here. Love
it. But I want to give you a chance to promo everything. So first of all...
Sure.
Come to Savory Spice Shop.
Yeah, come and see us.
And look at the cookbooks.
Yes. Look at the spices. You can smell everything. You can taste everything. We're right next door to Will Rogers Theater, just north of Sushi Nico. Same side of the road as those two. We've been here 4 years now. And it is kind of intimidating when you walk in the front door because there's 600 or 800 jars staring you in the face.
Yeah.
But all of our staff is really, really knowledgeable and really likes to, like I said, whenever I was telling you about kind of my story, is I like to talk to people about making their food taste good.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to give restaurant recommendations. Mm-hmm. You know, people come in from all over the state, really,
mm-hmm.
and I always ask them, where are you going to eat when you're in town?
Mm-hmm.
And like 90% of the town, that time they're like, oh, Charleston's, man, Charleston's yeah. is so good. And I'm like, okay, there's nothing wrong with Charleston.
There's nothing wrong with Charleston.
There's so many like independent restaurants, mm-hmm. Local chefs that are super talented. RJ's Supper Club, Brad down there, their spreads plate. It's super old school, but he's got like egg salad, ham salad, you know. It's a spreads plate. He's got cocktail weenies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ludovine. We've got Barrios and Revolution opened mm-hmm. this week. Nick's new place opened.
I want to go there.
I haven't been in yet. There. It opened a couple weeks ago. Did you go to Old Nick's?
I hadn't gone to
it's
Old Nick's.
It's poetic.
Yeah, like, sure.
And it's not even, I mean, the burger's awesome, but the beauty and the poetry of that restaurant is watching Nick work a grill.
Okay.
Because no one could work that grill like if Nick wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, it's he has like a stack of onions like 3 feet high,
mm-hmm.
and he's like taking orders and he's cooking stuff, and it's just magical to watch.
Yeah.
But his new place, Nick's Lounge or something?
Yeah. Like that? Oh, I can't remember what the name of it is. But I was going to go there, but it was closed on Monday, so I didn't go.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
But I want to go there for
the,
sure.
The main thing that, you know, my whole thing about being here, and I feel so fortunate to be able to be in Oklahoma at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Oklahoma, I always say, is where a lot of other cities were a number of years ago. And right now, such a big... such a renaissance time for Oklahoma City
right now.
I feel incredibly fortunate. I mean, you and I are recording a podcast in a spice shop.
Yeah.
You know, you can't lose sight of that.
Yeah.
And I always love to be an advocate for this town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, like a couple of days ago, when it was really hard to advocate for.
Yeah. It was rough.
But there are amazing, talented people in this city that mm-hmm. are doing interesting things just like you
mm-hmm.
with the podcast and, you know, interesting stores, interesting restaurants, have really cool ideas. And those people really need our support. And everybody that listens to your podcast is gonna get that. And the more that I can pump those kind of customers, all that's gonna come back to mm-hmm. me somehow, because every time I send somebody down to eat at, you know, Ludovine or, you know, any of the restaurants I send people to, Guernsey, I still send people to Guernsey all the time. You know, the more I send people there up to the Hutch, the more those guys are going to tell people where they got their spices.
Mm-hmm. So come to the shop.
Come to the shop.
The moral of this story.
Go out and eat at local restaurants. Go out and drink local cocktails. We have an amazing food and beverage community here right now.
That's part of the reason why I started this. So,
sure.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I heard it, I was super stoked about it.
Yeah.
And I had coffee with Mallory. I didn't hear from her for months. So I was like,
I know. It got kind of busy. Also, we can follow you on Twitter, mm-hmm. Savory Spice OKC.
Savory Spice OKC on Twitter and Instagram.
I don't think I follow you on Instagram.
Oh,
I'm going to have to do
IG.
That.
You're
not on IG? I am.
Blow me up on
I'm
going
to have to do that. And then
Twitter and Instagram. And then, Savory Spice Shop OKC on Facebook.
Okay. Also, listen to Grounded Sounds, which is music and cooking, right?
No.
Okay, just music.
Grounded Sounds is where local business meets local music.
Thank you.
So we talk to local artists.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to business owners about how they incorporate local music or music in general into their, to the way they operate their business. We had the girls from Yoga Box on a couple days ago and how they're doing interesting stuff with music in their yoga studio. And then we always have live performances at the end of the show.
Yeah.
A band will play, and it's in this cool little theater up in the Tower Theater. It's in a little studio in the Tower Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to mostlyharmless.media, click on the Support Us link. You can donate whatever you want every month. We really want it to be listener funded. But with that, you get a membership,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have parties.
Cool.
We have food and drink
fun.
And live performances. And these performances are in a tiny studio where no one has been.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really
The studio intimate. Is really cool. I've been there.
Oh, yeah. You went mm-hmm. to the Bubble Girls.
Yeah. When I did the Bubble podcast, I got to see it, and it's a really neat space. So
mm-hmm.
it's awesome. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Oh, I'm going to save the mailbag question for another episode.
What's
the
mailbag?
You want to know?
I want to play.
I'm at 11% battery.
You got this.
Okay. So the mailbag question is,
plug it in.
Is there a plug-in right here?
Right here.
Okay, hold on.
Mailbag question of the day. I don't know how you get mailbags. I think you just tweet at Mallory.
You tweet at me to ask your question.
By the way, every time I listen to your podcast, I really wish I could just call in because I'm always listening to it like, I know the answer.
I wish that I could. I think you can, like, do a call-in.
We do live streams on Facebook, on Grounded Science.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Like, if you follow me and you see that I just tweet or blow up that we're talking to somebody on one of the social medias, if you hang out for about an hour and just kind of watch the Facebook, our Grounded Sounds Facebook feed, and it's just Grounded Sounds OKC on Facebook. At the end of the thing, we live stream the musical acts.
Oh.
It's only there while they're playing.
That's cool.
So I don't
Facebook
know if
Live.
Anyone has ever seen it or not, but we do it because Steven Tyler's got all the toys.
He likes the toys. Okay, so Ben asked, I need to start bringing my lunch to work, spending too much going out every day. Any options as far as something that's not just a ham sandwich?
Yes.
Okay.
I am a big fan and believer of lunch by the week.
Okay, what is that?
Where, like, on Sunday or something, you'll make a big pot of chili.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we do a lot is curried lentils.
Okay.
Make a crock pot full of curried lentils, which, you know, you're like, yeah, Abel, you're a spice guy. You have all the spices in the world. Why are you trying to get me to make curried lentils? They're really easy to make. Chili is really easy to make.
Yeah.
A good hearty beef stew, because we're getting into that weather.
I like to make a kale and tortellini soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soups are great. Mm-hmm. It's getting to be that time of year when it's time to make beef and Guinness stew.
Do you have a recipe?
Yes.
Okay.
I can give you one. Here's the trick to beef and Guinness stew. Go to Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Save up a little money.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in a jar. Go to Whole Foods. Get a chuck roast.
Okay.
And cube it up into about 1 or 2 inch cubes and use that beef to make the beef and Guinness stew. Like, I've had beef and Guinness stew at St. James Gate in Dublin, and my beef and Guinness stew is way better.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess lunch by the week, that's a good option.
Lunch by the week, yeah, to make it up in a big batch. Carrie and I bought a bunch of Tupperware, and we'll put, like, you know, a cup of the soup.
Mm-hmm.
Or another good thing is salad by the week. I'll make a big, huge salad.
Yeah.
And just, like, the more vegetables you can plow into a salad,
and
then you, again, Tupperware, make your own salad dressing. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
It's so easy. And if you need someone to teach you how to make salad dressing, I have an Italian dressing seasoning over there. I've got blue cheese dripping dressing. I've got a whole island full of salad dressing stuff. Shake it up in a jar. Leave the jar in the fridge at your work or whatever, and then bring your salad by the week. And you just have a little Tupperware, stack them up in your fridge.
Yeah, and I've been doing the mason jar salads. I did it this week,
I heard
too.
That on the podcast.
Yeah, and they keeps it really, really fresh. And I finally did, like, the dressing at the bottom.
Okay.
And then you just dump it out in a bowl, and it's great. And
salad.
They last all week, so.
You can do it for a week?
Yeah, I've made... You put them in individual mason jars.
Bigger mason jars than that, then.
Oh, yeah.
Like
They're
quart
like,
jars.
Yeah, yes, okay. Absolutely. Okay, so Ben, let us know what you decide to make for lunch next week, and we'll talk about it.
Sometime I want to come back, if you'll have me, and we need to just talk about cooking.
Okay, I think that would be a great...
I got a new toy I want to show you before you leave.
Is it the sous vide?
It's the sous vide from Chef's Kiss.
Okay.
Okay, man.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Absolutely, I want to see it.
It's gorgeous.
I had been following it, like, to see if... because it was out of stock. And so
I ordered it last November. And I just now got... Like, this is the first shipment of it. I had turkey breasts and turkey thighs and drumsticks under sous vide back there for the last day.
Okay.
I took them out today.
I'm excited to see it.
I'm going to put them on the grill, and they're going to be perfect and juicy.
I want to invite you back, and we can just talk about...
I will talk cooking.
Modernist cooking.
I'll talk old school cooking.
Old school cooking and modernist cooking.
All day.
Well, thanks for being on.
Such
thanks
a pleasure.
For hosting me in your spice shop.
I'm excited that I got to be on the podcast.
And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Any parting words?
Parting words. Stay spicy, Oklahoma City.
Stay spicy, Oklahoma City. Okay, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.